हरिः ॐ सहनभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः 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 ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवत्सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत Madhya Lila, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service. There are two kinds of devotees, those who are fully satiated and free from all material desires, and those who are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. Their qualities are one and the same, but those who are fully surrendered to Krishna's lotus feet are qualified with another transcendental quality, Atma Samarpana, full surrender without reservation. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejections of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full surrender and humility. Footnote 47. Hari Bhakti Vilas 11.4.17. Srila Prabhupada. One who is fully surrendered is qualified with the six following characteristics. One. The devotee has to accept everything that is favorable for the rendering of transcendental loving service to the Lord. Two, he must reject everything unfavorable to the Lord's service. This is also called renunciation. Three, a devotee must be firmly convinced that Krishna will give him protection. No one else can actually give one protection, and being firmly convinced of this is called faith. This kind of faith is different from the faith of an impersonalist who wants to merge into the Brahman effulgence in order to benefit by cessation of repeated birth and death. A devotee wants to remain always in the Lord's service. In this way, Krishna is merciful to his devotee and gives him all protection from the dangers found on the path of devotional service. Four, the devotee should accept Krishna as his supreme maintainer and master. He should not think that he is being protected by a demigod. He should depend only on Krishna, considering him the only protector. The devotee must be firmly convinced that within the three worlds he has no protector or maintainer other than Krishna. Five, self-surrender means remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent. The devotee is completely dependent on Krishna and he acts and thinks as Krishna desires. Six, the devotee is meek and humble. Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Sarvasya chaham hridisani vishto matas mritir jnanam apohanam cha Vedaish cha server aham eva vedyo vedanta krid vedavit eva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Situated in everyone's heart, Krishna deals differently according to the living entity's position. The living entity's position is to be under the protection of the illusory energy or under Krishna's personal protection. When a living entity is fully surrendered, he is under the direct protection of Krishna, and Krishna gives him all intelligence by which he can advance in devotional spiritual realization. The non-devotee, however, being under the protection of the illusory energy, increasingly forgets his relationship with Krishna. Sometimes it is asked how Krishna causes one to forget. Krishna personally causes his devotee to forget material activities, and through the agency of Maya, Krishna causes the non-devotee to forget his devotional service to the Lord. This is called apohana. So, what we see is that this aspect there, that's the perfect application of these points about how Krishna is everything, right? And then, therefore, what is favorable for service, then there using that in Krishna's service, and what's not favorable, they're rejecting. Right? They're always seeing things in connection with Krishna. They're not thinking, I am my own will make these things happen. It's by Krishna's grace, so he's the protector, he's the maintainer. And then he's always dependent on Krishna, so he doesn't want to do something that's not pleasing to Krishna. Right? So he'll always do it, and he's always meek and humble. So whatever he's doing, however it's all working, he's not thinking that I'm special. Right? It's all by Krishna's grace. So you see, that brings out the point that takes it from just being a dry philosophical point into being a dynamic aspect of Krishna consciousness. Right? So it goes together. So we see is that these fully surrendered souls, they see everything in connection to Krishna, and at the same time as they can see everything in connection to Krishna, means they see how to use it for Krishna or what not to use for Krishna. Because yukta vairagya means what is useful to use, that's what you use. The yukta vairagya doesn't mean you use things that are useless. You know, it's not yukta vairagya to take a colander and then pour the milk in there to put on the stove to put to boil. That's not yukta vairagya. Right? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Colander. You know, you have those that it looks like a pot, but it's got a million holes in it. You know, when you boil pasta, you pour it into there so all the water goes. Yeah. No.
Yes. Indian flames turn.
Hmm.
Indian fire got turned off. So the fire through the pots, the holes of the pot, so all liquid becomes only fire. So then fire will turn off. Yeah.
True. It's true. I mean, that's true. That was.
He spoiled the fun.
Huh?
He spoiled the fun.
Okay.
Maharaj, when you were reading the description of the qualities of a devotee and his complete surrender and dependence on Krishna, I had in my mind that it's actually suitable for the description of the Avanti Brahman of the 11th canto, which is really the mood of sannyas, total dependence on Krishna and nothing else. So the element of sannyas is always there even from the beginning of Krishna.
Yes. Sannyas is an attitude. And if you haven't got, it means either if you haven't gotten that attitude by the end of your life, then taking sannyas, at least there you should try for it. Or if you've had that attitude of sannyas before that, then now is the time when you can just apply it in its just, you know, simple form, rather than having to connect all different things of the world, you know, to Krishna and all that. So either way, it's either bring someone to the platform of sannyas or makes it very comfortable for them in that position. But yes, that's why in the 18.1 in Gita, then Krishna is explaining renunciation and sannyas. Because we take it that it's mine, I give it to Krishna. But the sannyas means it's always Krishna's, it's never ours. Right? And so that's what you're always trying to develop. So that act. So when you look at it from the detachment, that's the knowledge part. When you're attached to Krishna, that's the devotional part. Well, if you're attached to Krishna, you're not attached to Maya. Like it was saying, is that two kinds of devotees. One who's focused on not being attached to the material world, and the other is focused on being surrendered to Krishna. If you're surrendered to Krishna, you're not attached to the material world. So they have both. But the one who's just detached from the material world, he may not necessarily always be surrendered to Krishna, because he might get attached to the mode of goodness. Right? And so anything that'll make trouble, he doesn't want to get involved in. Right? Well, then for someone surrendered, if it's their ability or their duty and all that, then they take that up. Like I mentioned, once I was, I think it was with, I think it was Rameshwar. I get stuck because the natural thing is to go Maharaj, but then nowadays then you have to say Prabhu, and then anyone know Sanskrit?
Yes.
What's neuter for? You have Prabhu, Prabhi. What's the neuter state? Neuter.
Neuter.
Yeah. You have Prabhu. You take the root word, you get Prabhu.
Yes, yes.
And you take in the masculine. If you take the root word, you get Prabhi in the feminine.
Yes, yes.
What do you? What? How would you pronounce it?
Prabhu.
Prabhu.
Prabhu is a neuter we can consider.
Prabhu.
Root.
Okay. Prabhu. Everybody's Prabhu. So, Prabhu. Yes, so whatever it is, you know. However, how you say, you want to speak about them? Right? Getting the right thing here. No, you can't use it. Now you have to use they. They, them, themselves.
So what about he?
What about they? Yeah, sort of. So what about the boom? Yeah. Okay, so one day we were walking, I can't remember if it was, maybe it was after Prashad or something, because in the 60s then you'd serve Prashad, the GBC would come and sit, you know, and be served nicely and everything like that. And so then after Prashadam, then I was talking about, you know, because it was for the going for a meeting or that like that. And I was saying, oh, it must be, you know, difficult to sit in the meetings and this one arguing and this and that and so many things like that. And while we were walking, he just stopped and looked at me. He says, no, but it's my service. So it doesn't matter if it's comfortable or not. It's my service, so it's done because of that. So I can't think, oh, I don't want to do this. No, because it's my service. Like Krishna says, never be attached to not doing your duty. You know? So like that, then you situate yourself. This is what you're supposed to do. And so then, if it's favorable, then you involve yourself. If it's not favorable, you don't. So, yeah? Yeah. So like that, then you choose. So the sannyas would mean it's all for Krishna. So what is within your nature, what is within the situation that's there, what is within your, duties, given duties, then you'll choose what is favorable to use and what's not. Because it's all Krishna. But still, within Krishna, there's still a distinction. Right? Means Krishna will act with Mother Jashoda in one way and different with the cowherd boys. Like you see is that, like this, I don't know if you remember, there was, Rupa Goswami, weren't in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Then he was mentioning in the Vibhava, you have the Alambana, right? So you have the Ashray and the Vishay. And he mentions the qualities of the Vishaya. He was talking about a specific rasa. Having mentioned that, then he made the point, this is not the Udipan. Right? It means this is just the qualities that Krishna manifests to someone who is the shelter of that rasa. Then within, then there'll be specific Udipans that will inspire them and will bring about the anubhavas, right? The things they want to do and reactions and like this. But it's very specific. To the cowherd boys, he manifests in a specific way, in specific qualities. To Mother Jashoda in another way, to the servants another way, to the gopis another way. There'll be common points. That's why Krishna can be there and all the devotees can be relating to him in their rasa and they're all seeing that. That's the unit, because he is rasa. But the point goes, it goes back to Krishna, and there's a variety of how he deals. So this thing is, oh no, we don't have to follow the rules. It's like, okay, you don't have to follow the rules, but Krishna follows them. It's one of the 64 qualities of Krishna. He follows the Shastra. You don't want to follow, then fine. You know, tick that off the list. So what is it? You know, you take one more off instead of 78%, then you can get, you know, maybe 74.5% or something like that. You can get that. You know, others will get to 78 because they'll follow the scriptures, and you can get the, you know, whatever. So that's the point is that you have to see is that it's going to be, it's all Krishna, but still within the particular activity, certain things are favorable for the unfolding of that activity and certain things are not. Right? So it's not impersonalism that everything's Krishna, and it's not sentimentalism that it's all Krishna. Right? So the two have to work together, and so therefore then here is that then Krishna, he sees, and so the devotee, being that meek and humble, the devotee being dependent on the Lord, seeing Him is like this. So these six symptoms of surrender. Therefore, he sees Krishna everywhere, but those aspects of Krishna that are favorable for his service to Krishna, that's what he uses. Yes?
I think the point that you are mentioning about the Vibhava,
yes,
the Chidalaman, I think it's about the Vatsalya Ras, where the childhood aspect of,
yes,
Krishna, boyhood,
yes,
that is the Vishaya for the Vatsalya Ras, but for others it cannot be.
Yeah, it won't be, yeah, like that. Yeah, because there you see him as a young child, but the cowherd boys will see him as the same age. So he's just, you know, they're all like that. So yeah. So there's a difference. There is variety, but it's all Krishna. Is that, we're good? Two 22, 101 to 103. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. One whose body is fully surrendered takes shelter at the holy place where Krishna had his pastimes, and he prays to the Lord, quote, "My Lord, I am yours," end quote. Understanding this with his mind, he enjoys spiritual bliss. Footnote 48. Hari Bhakti Vilas 11:418. Okay, so the other one was 4:17. Okay, so someone who has that surrender, he takes shelter of the Lord's holy place and then thinks like this, "Oh Lord, my Lord, I am yours." When a devotee thus fully surrenders unto Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna accepts him as one of his confidential associates. Quote, "The living entity who is subjected to birth and death attains immortality when he gives up all material activities, dedicates his life to the execution of my order, and acts according to my directions. In this way, becomes fit to enjoy the spiritual bliss derived from exchanging loving mellows with me." So you see, he's surrendered, and then there are the mind's dedicated, right? That to the execution of the order according to his directions. Right. So we see is again, then the qualities come in. That's where the jiva is situated. Then, according to his, how you say, the qualities of surrender, then he's going to follow the orders of Krishna, you know, for pleasing Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So that's where he's situated. So the situations he's not creating. He's not the cause of the ananda for Krishna. Right? So others are creating that. And even his situation that he's in, all that, the knowledge comes from Krishna, all these different things come from Krishna. But that's where his free will is. So applying himself there, taking whatever qualities he has, using them for Krishna in a favorable way, which means according to Krishna's order and directions, right, as come down to the acharyas, that's then what the jiva does. And that way they assist. So either it's the material energy and trying for material happiness, and then he'll try to apply this and, you know, be miserable. Or he can be on the spiritual platform and in the situation of the Lord's, you know, activities, the Lord's service, for the pleasure of the Lord, then he'll perform these activities. So we see he's functioning under the protection of this Samvit potency. Right? That's his nature. But he's doing that in connection with Krishna's pleasure, that puts him under the Haladini. Right? In the place of the Dham. This way then he's in the fire of Krishna consciousness. Right? Then he becomes transcendental. It means he's situated transcendental. Yes.
Can we say, Maharaj, that here, in the conditioned state, we act as an instrumental cause?
We're always instrumental, yes.
And there, in the natural state, we perform.
We're instrumental.
This.
We're always instrumental. It would just be like, let's say we're looking at it grammatically. You have the subject, you have the object.
Yes.
And then you have the verb, the activity, right? So Krishna is the subject, Radharani is the object, right? Then there's the verb or the pastime. We are assistants in that pastime, right? And so that relationship with them and our connection with that, that's the dynamic. From that, then there's going to be outside of that, there's going to be a place that that's happening, right? The locative is going to be a cause for that, what particular happiness Krishna wants to get in the association of votes, and there's going to be the dative, there's going to be a particular result, You know what I'm saying? Physical result you can see. Like that. But the dynamic is the Lord and His internal potency, the activities between them, and us assisting in those activities. That's why you can see is sometimes we're doing this way, and sometimes it's interacting with Krishna, sometimes it's interacting with Radharani. Because it's connected. The verb is connected. Because the verb is coming from the subject, but according to to the object. Right? Krishna's activity is coming from Him. So you're assisting in that, but according to how that activity is pleasing to Radharani. Right? Because she knows what brings the most pleasure to Krishna. So the activity has to be done how it will please Krishna. But that pleasure is coming from Radharani. So Krishna's acting, and then does that make any sense?
Yeah.
We're getting anywhere here? Yes. Yeah.
This point is explained in Paramatma Sandarbha in one way to show, in the context, to show that Krishna showing mercy or partiality to devotees is actually not a problem of Him being neutral.
Mm.
So the essence of Swarup Shakti is the Ladini Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
And the essence of Ladini is the Bhakti.
Mm.
And that bhakti, which is originally present in Krishna, when it manifests in the devotee's heart, Krishna becomes pleased and He becomes attracted. It is His bhakti, shakti, but when it manifests in devotee's heart, He becomes attracted to it. And because of that, then He showers mercy.
Mm.
So that showering of mercy has nothing to do that He getting attracted or any prejudice, partiality on the devotee itself. And the same point can screw this one also, that we are still the instrument and not that bhakti is actually the Radharani.
It's like that the Kama Stuti in the marriage, then it's saying, where is this affection coming from? Where is it going to? Like that, because it's coming from the Lord and it's going to the Lord, because he's the Hiranyagarbha, he's the universal form. So that affection's there, and we're just through the medium of the particular individuals, then the affection for them is coming from the Lord, going to the Lord. So that's why, and your dealing means how we can deal, that's coming, all these things are all part of the Lord. So then we're seeing them in the context of serving the Lord. Right here is because of the separation of it, that we're different from the body, then all this analytical aspects knowledge comes up. In the spiritual world, you don't have to use this analytical knowledge, because there, then everything's just being done to please Krishna, and everybody's on that transcendental platform, so you don't have to analyze the Shaktis and everything. But while here, we will.
Best example is the train that brings Boga to Srinadji in Natadwar.
Yes, yes.
And the train is written from Srinadji for
Srinadji. Yes, yes. So it's coming from Him, going to Him. Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like Ganga water. They take from the Ganga for the Ganga. Yes. So we see here is that's the real position of the relationship. Is the direct connection to the verb. Right? Because the verb is that. So that's why the pastimes are the connecting point. And those pastimes then are performed to particular qualities. Right? So there's certain qualities that are there for a particular activity, a particular pastime is happening. Right? So that becomes the central feature. That's why it's always talking about, that when you talk about Vibhava, they mention the 64 qualities of Krishna. Right? Because the devotee having those qualities, the ones that are the match for in relationship, those are the ones off which a pastime happens. You can have a situation, right? And you can have a result, but it's the qualities being applied in the present that generate the result from the situation. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then... So the key thing is that direct thing of the subject, object, the verb. Now where do we fit in? We can fit in connection with that verb. We're not the subject, we're not the object. So even though you say, yes, we have a relationship with Krishna, so in that way there's that aspect of ashraya. But we're our aspect of ashraya is in assistance to the actual ashraya. You know, that's the uniqueness that's there. Because you could say, as no, but you know, I want to be my own ashraya. You can be. You want to be a mustard seed in a bag of mustards, or in a Mount Meru of mustard seeds, hey, go for it. You know, be my guest. But if you want to be able to take part in Mount Meru serving the Lord, you know, instead of just one mustard seed, and then you're a mustard seed plus Mount Meru plus a mustard seed, that's what's being offered. You know, but if you want to be just one mustard seed, not even in a bag, the bag is as big as Meru, so that's a lot of mustard seeds. You know, whoopee. You know, so does that make sense? So that becomes the position. Now, in that, we notice that the others that are, they're still considered direct nouns. You know, they're primary nouns because they're all connected. The place, the activity, and the people, they're all in a place. There's a cause for that, and there's a result of that. But the direct activity is going on in a place because of a cause, and it will give a reaction. But you see is that they're not as directly connected as the subject object and that to the verb. You know what I'm saying? That's where the dynamic is happening. While we look at, you know, we want to create a place, we want to create results, you know, what is the cause of it, you know, all that kind of thing. So we look at those things rather than actually the direct relationships. So then that makes it harder, because then we think, well, you know, how do you remember Krishna? Because it's direct relationship. It's not about the place. Right? So you see, the Krishna book, it'll talk about what the Krishna and the devotees are doing. And occasionally, just to set the mood, it will talk about the place. But the main talking about the place is actually in the pastime where Krishna and Balaram are walking, and they're talking about it. So Krishna is talking about how the forest of Vrindavan is looking so wonderful like this because it's trying to please Balaram. You know, so you can say, well, you know, he's talking about glorifying his elder brother, but at the same time, as his elder brother is serving him. So, in other words, Balaram wants to serve Krishna by making wonderful arrangements. And so the Dham is making those wonderful arrangements to please Balaram, who's doing that to please Krishna. Understand? But because of the relationship, then it comes in that way. Is that... Yes? No?
Maharaj, I don't know if you mentioned it, so is it the adverb which acts as instrument, or...
No, because instrumental is also a direct primary noun. So in Sanskrit, we're talking Sanskrit here. Okay. Other languages, okay. That's another thing. See, in Sanskrit, means the basic point is basically all nouns are manifestations of something that can do something. Means you have a verb, but unless you have a noun, how does the verb happen? Does running run on its own? No, a person is running. Or the tap is running. Or your nose is running. Right? You know, something is running. You know? Like that. So that's the whole point is that when you're going through, is that it comes up, is that the verb becomes manifest through a noun. So therefore you have the verb, and those six nouns that are directly connected to the verb, those are considered primary nouns. Mm-hmm. Secondary nouns are therefore all the other varieties of things that connect to those primary nouns. Mm-hmm. Right? And the verb. You know, I don't know, in English you have adverbs and adjectives and this and that, and
so
all
these are like secondary nouns.
They're all secondary nouns. Okay. Like that. It becomes very easy. Sanskrit's very easy. Even though there's 24 parts of speech, it's actually very easy because it all connects back to this. And then you have ways which nouns go into verbs go into nouns. You know, those kind of things like that. And so it becomes very easy because it's consistent. How much of that is reflected in other languages, I can't say, because in English it's an absolute mess. I mean, they've lost it. I think, you know, they lost it with after Chaucer. You know, probably before that they had more of a concept of grammar, but since then it's doesn't really mean anything. It's really good for impersonalism, as far as philosophy, and poetry. You know, like that.
Yeah. You know. Russian is a bit better than
English. Yeah. No, I think most of the major languages are a bit better, like that. Because you can say they all have fathers, like English doesn't have a father, only a mother.
Yeah, directly from Prakriti, that's why Prakriti.
Yeah, so, and you know the social status of an individual that has a mother but no father? Yeah, so we don't want to get into too much detail. I'll let you fill in the blanks. But yeah. So, yeah, okay. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.29.34. Krishna was advising his most confidential servant, Uddhava, about Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. These concern one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the activities of that relationship, as well as the perfection of life. The Lord also describes the characteristics of confidential devotees, right? So here again is that it's always going to mention these three. That's why you see when Prabhupada in the purport is mentioning something, much of the time he'll always mention all three, like that. So it's not just he's mentioning it in different ways. One, it is different ways, but he's mentioning Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. 222.104.105. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear Sanatana, please now hear about the regulative principles for the execution of devotional service. By this process, one can attain the highest perfection of love of Godhead, which is the most desirable treasure." So we see is here now, he's explaining to Sanatana Goswami, now he's going to say, hear about the regulative principles, right? For executing devotional service, right, by that process you can attain the highest. So again, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana.
Yes.
So when he is the Lord of Sambandha Gyan, that means it's in context of how it relates to the process and the result. So that's why Hari Bhakti Vilas explains everything. And specifically the how that's applied, you know, and it will be in Nectar of Devotion. But it also tells Sambandha and Prayojana, but its focus is on the Abhideya. Because Sambandha Gyan means so how you're going to practically apply it, right? The science. Right? So the other is that when you know who you are, who Krishna is, the material world, what's your relationship, how you act in that relationship, what's the result of that relationship of love of Godhead, like that, and what's the proper attitude in having that, what's the spirit or this mood of surrender. That's called Sambandha Gyan. Applying all that Sambandha Gyan, that's called Abhideya. Getting the results of that and tasting that result, that's Prayojana. Right? So sometimes the mistake, as soon as it's talking about Prayojana, oh, it can't be this. No, that's the knowledge of it. So the vidhi has to be in context of developing love for Krishna. That's the idea. So, yeah?
Maharaj, when you speak about these three Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, they're always related.
They're always related. Because they always go together. Because yes. They're simply a manifestation of Krishna's Sarup.
Yes.
So Sat Chit Ananda becomes Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Right? It also becomes Sandini, Samvit, Ladini, because this is within knowledge. Right, so it always have these things. Just like his Sarup Shakti, it also has three divisions. Right, that. You know, material energy has the three, goodness, passion, ignorance. Spiritual energy, sandini, sambit, ladini. So it's always going to have this aspect of three because Krishna has these three features. So even himself, then you'll have the Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan. But the basis is Bhagavan. So the basis always goes back to Krishna's Sarup. That's why when you say impersonal, then you remove everything where it's all come from. It means everything's coming from his form. Right? And then we're going to say it all comes from Brahman. When Brahman is coming from the form also. So that's why it's considered that they're, offensive. Because they don't accept the form. The form is the source of everything. And then not accepting that, then they're trying to say it's from somewhere else, but everything's Brahman. But at the same time, as there's no ignorance or jiva that, it can't come from Brahman because it's pure. So they have to make up something else. And so then you get this duality. So in the material world, you always get this duality. There's God and then someone else. God is controller and this. Then there's someone else who's controlling and running this world. You know, and God doesn't have control. Funny, God doesn't have control over, whoever is running this world. But the jiva does. The jiva, he can make the decision and go beyond it. So God is waiting for the jiva to make that because he can't do it himself. But where does that potency come from? Where does it go? Because you're thinking of God. That's why the potency is there. How can you cover a transcendental living entity or a spiritual living entity by matter? You can't. So it's only by Krishna's potency that you can do that. Because the living entity wants to be covered. He wants to take the blue pill. So therefore, then, the arrangement is made.
That's why in Vaishnava theology you always begin with Bhagavan and then Paramatma.
Yes.
Not the other way.
No.
Otherwise you can't go anywhere.
You can't get anywhere because where does it come from? So the point is, Bhagavan, the other two make sense. Yes, exactly.
I learned that from Radhika Ramana to the presentation in Sandhava.
Mm-hmm.
It always starts with Bhagavan.
Yes. 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 So even when they're discussing Brahman, it's always in the context of Bhagavan.
Yes.
So therefore, Bhagavat Sandarbha is discussing how Krishna is Brahman. Like that.
So as soon as the Mayavadis say that the part of Brahman becomes covered, it loses his two inherent qualities, all pervading and inseparable, because then to get apart you have to separate, and to cover him he's not all pervading.
Yeah, not all pervading. Also he does not all knowing, all these you just lose
so
everything.
It immediately falls apart, the whole thing.
So here also just looking at it psychologically. Then you have the aspect of how people don't, it's always the ideas, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
So here, I'm Brahman, I'm God, right? And so this illusion comes along out of nowhere, we don't know where it came from, and covers a portion of Brahman that now here I am in the material world. And so now if I can just remember my position there, I go back. So it's not my fault I'm here. It's someone else's fault. So they're always wanting to shift blame to somewhere else. So, yeah. So even these very, elevated, qualified, intellectual, logicians, still, it's still the same problem. It's someone else. Someone else has put me here, not myself. But if a portion is there, that means Brahman's still there doing Brahman stuff. So Brahman's fine. But somehow or another, it's all about them. Yeah, that's the other aspect. It's got to be about yourself. Right? It's all about me, and it's someone else's fault. By this process, one can attain the highest perfection of love of Godhead, which is the most desirable treasure. Quote, when transcendental loving service, by which love for Krishna is attained, is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service and practice. Srila Prabhupada. This verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2. Because living entities are minute, atomic parts and parcels of the Lord, devotional service is already present within them in a dormant condition. Right? Because otherwise, for anything to manifest, it already has to be wherever it is. And for that, you know, and then we're non-different from the Lord, the energies are non-different from the Lord, so all these things can expand. Like that, because if it's not dormant, where would it come from? Devotional service begins with Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. When a man is sleeping, he can be awakened by sound vibration. Therefore, every conditioned soul should be given the chance to hear the Hare Krishna mantra chanted by a pure Vaishnava. One who hears the Hare Krishna mantra thus vibrated is awakened to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. In this way, one's mind gradually becomes purified, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. When the mind is purified, the senses are also purified. Instead of using the senses for sense gratification, the awakened devotee employs the senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is the process by which dormant love for Krishna is awakened. So this is the actual position of the transcendental position of awakening. And the mundane, it's called woke. See, if you're awakened, that's the transcendental. And if you're woke, that's the mundane. No? Like that. Because then it's about using your senses for pleasing Krishna, rather than using your senses and try, you know, how you like identifying what are your senses, how those senses can be used. No one can get in the way or give you direction about how to use your senses because you are the Lord of your own destiny. That kind of stuff is for the mundaner. But using it for the Lord's service.
No, actually, you have need two choices.
Yes.
To serve Krishna, to serve our senses, only two choices.
Yes, that's all. It means the senses will act because we, being a living entity, then you are conscious, right, of things around you. You have knowledge that can be applied through the qualities that you have. That will gain results, because the idea of the results will gain happiness, right? Because we do service to Krishna. What's the point? The service to Krishna gets a result that's pleasing to Krishna. So it's inherent in the spiritual nature that the situation is applied according to knowledge and qualities to get particular results that generate a positive experience, right? So in the spiritual world, that is about pleasing Krishna, because if you please Krishna, you'll be pleased. While in the material world, then this idea that I'll please myself and you'll be pleased, now it doesn't work. That's why you have happiness or distress. It's not called bliss. Like that. Is that? Yeah, that sucks. Udriti, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 12. The Lord then explained to Sanatana Goswami the various types and symptoms of practical devotional service. When devotional service is performed with our present senses, it is called practical devotional service. Actually, devotional service is the eternal life of the living entity and is lying dormant in everyone's heart. The practice which invokes that dormant devotional service is called practical devotional service. Under the spell of illusory energy, the spiritual spark is almost extinguished. But by practical devotional service, one can revive his natural constitutional position. When one practices devotional service, it should be understood that he is returning to his original and normal liberated position. Devotional service can be practiced with one's senses under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. So, you know, again, read it and point that it's inherent, it's dormant in the living entity. So therefore, his original transcendental position and his natural position of doing service. is the living entity by nature a servant, and he's a servant on the spiritual platform. Right? That's natural. Right? 222, 106, 109. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The spiritual activities of hearing, chanting, remembering, and so forth are the natural characteristics of devotional service. The marginal characteristic is that it awakens pure love for Krishna. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of the living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. So in other words, the processes of devotional service, you know, these nine processes of devotional service of the 64, these are the natural points. Those are the natural characteristics. That it awakens love for Krishna, that's a side point. Because it awakens what's natural that's already there, and once it's awoken, it's not waking more. Then you're performing the service in that position. Does that make sense? So it's natural for the soul to function in that capacity. Right? Like that. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, his love naturally awakens. There are two processes of practical devotional service. One is regulative devotional service, and the other spontaneous devotional service. Those who have not attained the platform of spontaneous attachment in devotional service render devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master according to the regulative principles mentioned in the revealed scriptures. According to the revealed scriptures, this kind of devotional service is called Vaidhi Bhakti. Right? So, okay. When transcendental loving service by which love for Krishna is attained, it is executed by the senses. It is called sadhana bhakti, the regulative discharge of devotional service, right? From that's the previous verse. So, it's called vaidhi, or you know, you're engaging the senses because not necessarily the mind and heart are not always accompanying. You can be doing the service and thinking of something else, you know? So, that's why it's Vaidhi Bhakti, because you're doing, because the rule says to do like that. And so therefore you do that service and continue doing that service. Because otherwise, if you only do according to your interest, then how often would people be doing the devotional activities? No. But you see, is just like Haridas Thakur, he's always chanting. But for us, unless it's the regulative principle that you have to chant every day this much, we wouldn't. If it just said, just chant Hare Krishna, how much would we chant per day? You know, 16 rounds is difficult, so yeah, you know, 8 rounds is okay, but then there's times like this, 4 rounds, well, at least, you know, while I'm, you know, driving the car, I'll hum a few bars of Hare Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Like that, so... There's the regulative means that's regulated so that therefore then we are involved. So spontaneous means then the natural spontaneous attachment. That means the heart is involved. Right? So if the heart's involved, it means the mind's involved. So when the heart and mind are involved, that's called spontaneous. It's not a different process. It's the same thing. Yes?
In, I think, the Sikshastakam, the Sambodhana Bhasha Samhita, something which is the commentary on the Sikshastakam by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He mentioned that third verse of Sikshastakam is Kirtaniya Sadahari. Like, when you have these qualities of meek and humbleness, then Kirtaniya Sadahari. But the next verse goes Nadanam Najanam Sundarim. So there he points out, even a Mayavadi can do Kirtaniya Sadahari. But why is he doing, is the question. So, when we, like, you know, persons who are not at the platform of Raganaga Bhakti and project themselves in that platform, it's actually this state, it's a kind of, in one sense.
Yeah, they're not fully... the point is that's not the big thing. The big thing is that there's no interest on material platform. That means you please Lord Chaitanya, therefore Nityananda Prabhu is blessed one with not having material attraction. And then one can appreciate the Dham, right? Because the pastimes happen in the Dham. So the Dham has to be there first. Then within that the Dham, then you have to be able to appreciate the qualities of Radha and Krishna and the devotees. Only when you have that, now that can be applied in the pastimes. Right? That give the taste. So, yeah, so that's why they all go together. So without the Dham, that's the situation, then, but at the same time, it's not the Dham, it's the qualities that are being used in that Dham that produce the taste. Right? So, we're good?
Yeah. Maharaj, when it is regulated sadhana, it's only the body who is working?
No, mind is also. It means the mind is also, but you may be focused on the situational things of the knowledge and skills. You know, so that's the thing, is that, like, well, knowledge and skills is active, so is abhideya. In one sense, it is. But it'll be the vaidhi aspect. While the thing is the mind and senses being engaged with the qualities. That's the whole point. That's why then humility, tolerance, not looking for respect, respecting others. Because with that attitude, now with those qualities, you do the same service. Then that brings you to the platform where you're always chanting. Because there, then you're motivated that you want to please Krishna.
Yes.
Right? Otherwise, then you're going to, if that's not appreciated, then one can get distracted by the technical points and think, because I'm doing the technical points right. You know, that's what I'm saying. You have these, management kind of seminars based on self-help books. It's just about the knowledge and skill. Very rare does anyone talk about the attitude. And even if they talk about the attitude, it's only the attitude connected to yourself. Like, I can do this, I'm wonderful, I'm fabulous, I'm the best, or because I want it, it has to come. You know, I think about it, it will come. The whole universe is just centering around me, and whenever I think about it, it all comes towards me. Of course, I might get crushed by it, that's not pointed out, but hey. So we see is that they're not actually talking about the abhideya where the qualities are being used. So it is you're applying yourself. It is practical, but under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, you start to hear about the attitude. Now, when you add the attitude with that knowledge and skills, now you can actually say it's that abhideya is proper, because that will then give a result that gives the taste that has to do with that proper attitude. Otherwise, my attitude is knowledge and skills. Therefore, the result I get will give the taste of knowledge and skills. We'll sit around and talk, yeah, it was a great festival and like that, you know, this went perfect and that, there was no problems. And no one's talking about how the devotees were happy and the ecstasy and how nice the deities look. And this, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is if you want a taste, then you have to work with the qualities that are dealing with taste. You know, the good qualities. That's why the 25 qualities, or 26 qualities are there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's where your shift is between the vaidhi and the spontaneous, is when you add in the proper qualities. Because of the attraction to Krishna. Right? So, and devotional service will develop the qualities. Mm-hmm. So, the qualities, so that's the point, is by absorbing yourself, then these qualities will come up. Yes. So, if we're saying, oh, but this person lacks good qualities, the only solution is devotional service under proper direction. There isn't another solution.
Yes.
You know? Otherwise, you end up with something weird. No? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning. It has a certain ring, doesn't it? Yeah. In the beginning. Now, here's an interesting thing, right? Because the original is, it means you have, in the beginning, there was the Word, right? Okay. Here it says, in the beginning, one has to hear from a bona fide spiritual master.
So there is a word.
But the point is that you're the process of hearing, then applying that, then realizing. So this is the dynamic form. No? Yeah. This is favorable for advancing in devotional service. According to this process, one hears, chants, remembers, and engages in deity worship, acting under the directions of the spiritual master. These are the essential primary activities of devotional service. Devotional service must not be executed for some material purpose. One should not even have a desire to merge into the absolute truth. One has to render such service out of love only. Ahaituki apratihata. Devotional service must be without ulterior motives. Then material conditions cannot check it. Right? Because if you have an ulterior motive, then the material situations will check the bhakti. But if there is none, then how they'll affect? Because you're going to do your service no matter what obstacle is there. But if you're doing your service for a particular result and the external situations are going against your result that you want because of your ulterior motive, then you will give up that service. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it says, gradually one can rise to the platform of spontaneous devotional service. So by that one, then it'll bring you, gradually. It'll bring you there. And gradually is individual. Someone is more quick, someone is more slow. One aspect is quicker, one aspect is slower.
Yes.
Like in chanting, it might be quicker, but in taking prasad, it might be slower. Or in taking prasad, it might be quicker. Like you see brahmacharis, they're already on the spontaneous devotional platform, but let's say cleaning the temple, that might be more vaidhi, you know, that kind of stuff. Or picking up their stuff, or keeping their room neat, you know, like that. Yes. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.